Welcome back to this week's episode of Coffee and Christ. Good sound effects. Brought to you by my co-host, Woo! Jackson.
Welcome. Hello, everyone.
How are you guys doing this fine day? If you're where we are, it's became rather chilly.
It has.
And I don't have a jacket.
Oh. As your mama taught you to...
Well, it was warm this morning. It was like 60 when I left the house.
I guess so.
At 6:30. Well, no. Okay. 6:50. It was... It felt nice.
Yeah. Is it supposed to get cold tonight or is it tomorrow night?
Tonight.
Why not?
Let's just give you the weather.
Tonight.
Dun, 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 dun,
is that Mario Kart?
Dun, dun, dun. Nope. Name it though. You get two more shots.
Wheel of Fortune?
Nope. But it is a game show.
Dun, 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 let's make a deal.
Dun, dun, no. Family Feud.
Oh, really? I hear it. Dang it.
Could have got it. So, ooh. Chance of flurries tonight.
Is it actually?
We'll go by the hourly.
Oh, my goodness.
So, it's going to be 42 at 11. And then 6 a.m., 34 degrees. 8 a.m., well, 40. It only gets up to 46 tomorrow.
Really?
Yep.
Oh,
and then
that's
Friday
chilly.
Morning is 33 at 6 a.m.
That's pretty chilly.
And it only gets up to 43. And then Saturday it warms back up. Saturday morning is going to be cold. And then it warms up to, well, it's just 50 Saturday. Ooh. And then Sunday it gets up back up to 60.
That's pretty chilly right there.
And then next week is back warm again, which I despise. So I wish it would get cold and stay cold.
What is that? How warm does it get?
Monday is the warmest day at 64.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad.
Then Tuesday is the highest 50. Wednesday 50. Thursday 47. Friday 40. It's going to be cold for our Christmas party.
Oh.
Anyway. Jackson, won't you tell us what has been going on, buddy?
You know, what has been going on? I don't know. That's hard to say. We've kind of been kind of just I couldn't tell you. Besides the regular day I have of going to work and you know, doing whatever I do at the end of the day, and nothing special there. I say this weekend is going to go to the lights Friday night up in Nashville.
You go to the Opryland?
Yeah, Opryland. Nice. And then Saturday morning, hunting, and Saturday afternoon tonight is the company Christmas party.
That's gonna be fun.
So weekend got some big plans, but I'd say just, you know, it's been normal, I guess. Nothing extraordinary, but not bad. I guess normal's good, because, you know, whenever it gets in December, well, actually whenever it gets the holidays next week. Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, are we even gonna do this next week?
Yeah, we will.
It should be on Tuesday.
It'll be Tuesday night.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, next week, though, man, be packed.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, Black Friday.
You going to go Black Friday shopping?
No.
Neither.
I won't.
But actually, you know where I'm going to be? Where the new office.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Working Friday. Moving stuff in.
Really?
I will be there.
Well.
Pretty sure about myself, but I will be there.
Oh, we'll figure out something. We won't let you be alone there, little buddy.
Oh, I like to tinker.
Like to tinker. Well.
But yeah,
that's about it. I mean, I'd say coming up, you know, especially the next month, you know, December is always a little more busy. So, but what about you, Dylan? What have you been up to?
What haven't I been up to? I had a wedding this weekend in Indiana.
Oh, that's right.
Shout out to Gabe.
Whoop, whoop.
Congratulations, buddy.
Whoop, whoop.
My cousin, my mom's side of the family lives in Indiana. It's a terrible place. Indiana just is sad. It's just like when you cross the state line, you're depressed.
Aw.
Because everybody's... No, I won't say everybody's mean. I take all this back. People are nice, but it just seems like... It's always cloudy in Indiana, I think. Maybe it's just been every time I've been there.
I can confidently say I don't think I've ever been to Indiana.
It's just... It's flat, and I just don't really care for it. Mm. Sorry if anybody from Indiana listens to this. Love you, but don't love where you live. And so we did that and came home Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
And then this week has been so far anticlimactic, but the weekend is packed. Mm. Well, actually, going forward is packed.
Yeah, true.
I'm eating dinner with my sister for her birthday tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And then I have basketball practice,
mm-hmm.
vision. And then Friday night, I have a gender reveal party for my new niece or nephew. I know what the gender is, but because my fiance is in charge of the party. So I know what gender my new niece or nephew is. So exciting things. But we're going to have a gender reveal party.
Yeah, you are packed.
And then Saturday, I'm hanging my Christmas lights Saturday morning.
Oh, nice.
And then I am somewhere in between. I'm going to go buy some Christmas lights. me and my neighbor Luke are coordinating with each other.
Oh, yeah. That'd be
so
nice.
So we're each going to have the same lights and possibly one inflatable. And aww. So then, which I really want to have the lights that drape over the bushes, but my bushes are too small. They're babies. They're new.
They're babies.
So
tiny.
I have that. And then Saturday, I'm putting up the lights. And then I'm going to the set up at the party.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which I've tried to do all on my own this year. Like, well, okay, like me, Mike, and Lisa. So that way, like, nobody else is helping. Mm-hmm. So that way, they're all get to participate instead of helping. It's really hard whenever your friends work for you.
Right.
But, like, you want to do things that require their help, but then they also get to participate. And you're like, hey, come in.
Well,
so
I can speak of someone who is a friend. And participating.
I don't mind to help. Once we move the tables tonight, I mean, everything else is just...
decorating.
Yeah, which Lisa's doing that. So anyway, fun stuff. And then next week, obviously, it's the holidays.
Aw.
So,
no,
we have a Christmas life. Or Thanksgiving dinner Wednesday night, Thursday night, or Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Really?
I have four Thanksgivings.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's Andrea's exciting.
Family, Andrea's family is Wednesday night. A guy from work Thursday night, Thursday, Friday, nannies, Saturday, my mom and dad's.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Man, I have one.
Is it your family?
Yeah, that's it. I just have one.
You're not going to Pikeville this year?
I haven't, just because it's at the same time as my family's. So, but wow.
Packed.
Packed, everyone.
Packed. So...
I'm trying to think, you know, a lot of people listen, you know, who are not from America.
Right.
Right. So, like, this is just a normal...
just a normal week for you.
Just
next
a normal week, I guess.
Next week, we all eat a lot of food, and then we go, you know, knock people out with...
yeah, to get the best deals. That's right. Yeah, just... I hope you all have normal weeks, then.
I will say, maybe this is just me. Black Friday does not hit like it used to.
Oh.
I used to love to go Black Friday shopping.
Mm.
But, and I went in Crossville. Me and Ty and a bunch of our friends used to always go. But it was just to see the fights. And to see people like, you know, Judy chop somebody over a TV.
Right, yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Uh-huh.
It was no fun.
Well, that's because those deals like get so early. Like,
well, everybody shops online. I don't blame them. I do too.
Yeah. I mean,
I've supplied this entire new office solely from Amazon.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, and already, like, Amazon's running their Black Friday deals.
Mm-hmm.
It started the 21st. That's tomorrow.
But I'm a big small biz Saturday guy. Small business Saturday.
That's right. I've done that before. Out,
I'm going to do that some next Saturday.
I've done that before. Yeah.
So. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. I've done that before.
Because I own a small business.
That's right.
We do not have small business Saturday deals because we're not really a retail store.
That's right.
We're more wholesale? I don't know. But
I don't know either. But anywho, here we are. We are picking up a new word that Dylan's going to start off with. Go.
No, actually you are. I started off last week. It's all you.
Well.
Take it away, Penny.
Take it away, Penny. I wonder how many people will catch that reference.
Indoors.
I'm sure a lot of people will.
Indoors.
Bob Esponja.
Indoors. I bit my tongue.
That was beautiful.
Take it away, Penny.
Anyway, that's beautiful. That was beautiful. Well, this week, we are going over the word faith. now, you know, faith is very difficult to cover in just one podcast.
And maybe we won't. That's okay.
No, I feel like we could take this for ever. Like, you
I
can
also had a hard time condensing my thoughts.
Like, you could just keep going in a lot of different directions, and kind of like, I don't know, almost you can like do like specific case studies of like specific people and stuff like that. So there's tons of stuff that you can do. So it was definitely hard to kind of to limit what you were going to say, so you're not just like talking the whole time and you're not in like 20 different like scriptures and stuff like that. And so but just to get right into it, faith, the Hebrew word for faith, in a lot of other occurrences, in fact, kind of like coincides with the word truth. Both of those are really close in their translations. But the Hebrew word is emet, E-M-E-T. This word is related to a very popular and, I would say, pretty universal term being amen. It's where we kind of get the word amen from, is from this Hebrew word, emet. And so, and amen just means that's true or that's the truth. And so, emet as a noun, there's a lot of different examples. For one, just, you know, cranking from the list, in Exodus chapter 18, we see Moses has just listened to his father-in-law's advice about how it seems like Moses is just doing all the work. And I think it's kind of ironic in that, and this could be like an easy rabbit trail to go down for another time. But Exodus chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Moreover, look." Oh, no, excuse me. Let's go back up to the top. 15. "And Moses said to his father-in-law, 'Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them known. I make them know the statutes of God and his laws.' And Moses' father-in-law said to him, 'What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourself out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone.'" Which, man, beautiful wisdom right there. I mean, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 7 right there, you know. Why be overly righteous, try to do so too much at one time? But that's besides the point. Anywho, if you go down to 21, though, it says, "Moreover, look for able men." These are the people that he's going to delegate all this stuff to. "Able men who fear God and who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens." So, as a noun, when this is used to describe somebody, it's used to describe men who are emet or trustworthy. Now, I would say this word, you know, can kind of go in many different ways. I think faith, though, as a... I don't even know how to word it. I guess just as a word in general, I feel like we kind of... It's lost its weight, I will say. I think we use it in different ways and maybe wrong, like context is all in general. And I think it's lost some of its weight. And so I should have said that at the beginning, but that's what kind of motivated this specific study for me on faith or faithful, was to kind of get back to the basics of what it really means. And for that, for emet, for this certain situation, it is describing someone to be trustworthy. Now, as a verb, the word is ehemin. That's H-E-apostrophe-E-M-I-M. That is actually the Hebrew word for truth, but it can be translated as to believe or to have faith. And one of the more popular ones would be to consider someone or something trustworthy itself. You know, one of the first people in the Bible who considers God to be trustworthy is Abraham and Sarah. You know, they're both very, very old, and they have no children, and yet God promises that they're going to birth an entire nation through them.
What?
What? God, and those nations will experience the blessing of God. But it says in chapter 15, verse 6, that he believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteous. Now, what it literally says is that Abraham ehemens God, means he considers him trustworthy. And then God comes through. Four generations later, God creates a whole nation out of their offspring because God himself is emet. God himself is faithful. Again, just another occasion in Deuteronomy chapter 32. You know, it's the closing of the book. It's the closing of, you know, the first five books, the Torah itself. And so it's kind of a like a throw everything in there at the very end. And it closes with two poems. One is issuing a warning, the other one's issuing a blessing for this new generation of Israel. And he's calling them to be faithful to the Torah and obedient to God. And it says in chapter 32, and now this is from the poem of warning, so if you keep reading it, it might seem pretty dark pretty quickly. But, you know, Moses is telling it like it is. So verse 3 and 4, though, it says, "For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he." And so I think it's kind of ironic, you know, Moses is likening God to a rock. And I'm sure tons of little like scriptures are running through your head right now of all about that in the New Testament. But, you know, it's likening to something that's stable, trustworthy. And what he's saying is that here you can trust God to be consistent to his character and what he's promised to you. And so, anyway, you work through the Old Testament and we experience many different kings and rulers and judges and good things happen, bad things happen. And then we make it to 2 Samuel chapter 7, which I think, and this is, I guess, just a personal opinion. I think this is a pretty crucial chapter when it comes to God being faithful, God being emet. So right here, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, it says, "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." You see, God right here is making a promise to David. He's making a covenant with David that he's going to raise up a faithful descendant whose kingdom is going to endure forever and ever. And so literally it says, "In your house and your kingdom shall be made emet forever." Now, my translation says sure, but it's the same word in Hebrew. So this faithful king is going to come, is going to become the source of trust and stability for everyone else. But, you know, if you read the rest of the Old Testament, we know that the kingdom collapses, people get scattered, and because of it, you know, a lot of time God's faithfulness, God's emet, is questioned. But I think it's significant, you know, you open up just to the New Testament, and the first line of the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, is describing the lineage of Jesus, who is, and it makes sure, you know, you read it and you know it, it says, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So in other words, through Jesus, God is fulfilling his promises, and he is this faithful king whose kingdom will endure forever and ever, and who invites himself, who invites all these nations to trust in God. And so that kind of, I mean, it's such a, that's, again, we're going to keep going on, but the word actually itself in Greek is pitho, P-E-I-T-H-O. It's kind of funny, this word has no origin from where it comes from, as far as the Hebrew, and all the other words that kind of pertain to faith or trust come out of that word, pitho. And, you know, once we're in the New Testament, you know, there's no better place to go than Hebrews. Come on. So, over in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrew is, first off, in chapter 10, verse 35 and 39, that's a great place to start before you read chapter 11, which is called the Hall of Faith, or the Faith chapter, and it says, For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And then he quotes from two prophets, Habakkuk and Isaiah. And it says, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And when he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but all of those who have faith and preserve their souls. You know, I think to kind of circle back to what I said towards the beginning about how I think we have a misunderstanding of faith is, I don't know, and Dylan, you pipe in, you know, whenever you want, but I think that a lot of times we attribute faith to just blindly doing something with no rhyme or reason or right or wrong or anything like that. But from what I read in the Old Testament, how it's supposed to be consider him faithful or consider someone trustworthy, to me, what's happening with faith is it's not just a blind act where you're just like, you know what? I have faith in Jesus that he's going to save me from stepping in front of this train. And if you survive, you're like, wow, my faith is so strength. But like, that's not going to happen. You know, having faith is not meaning that you do stupid things, I would say. And I think that writer Hebrew kind of hits it on the head. He right here, especially just before chapter 11, he's issuing a challenge. You know, if Jesus says who he says he is, where he just hasn't done what he's done in the past, you know, where he's lived a perfect life and he's died, but that he's going to continue that and do something in the future as well. And what the writer says is here is we are in the present. You know, we're in that in-between time that is after the cross, but before his return. And what marks a life of a true Christian says in verse 38, my righteous one shall live by faith. And again, I don't think faith is meaning that you just blindly do things because, I don't know, insert said excuse of some kind. Because I hear it all the time is that if something doesn't go well for you, a church group, well, you lacked faith. You didn't pray hard enough or something like that. And I could disagree because, I mean, you go to the Hebrews chapter 11:11 and you read about Sarah. Sarah, it literally says when it talks about her, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive. We talked about her earlier. Even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful, who had promised, considered God faithful. So it's not like this faith is just this blind act of you think it and it's going to happen. It starts where you think. Sarah considered God faithful, and then she did what he did, what he asked him to do. She then backed it up with, you know, action. And so, I don't know, this is where you can take it in a lot of different areas. But, you know, trusting and having faith is risky. But I think that's the point. It's not that we're supposed to blindly do things because we heard it in a Sunday morning class or on a podcast or something like that. But it's we're considering what God has done, what Jesus has done in his life, through his actions, through his death, through his resurrection. And then in turn, knowing that one day he's going to come back and we're kind of in this in-between time and that we're going to have faith. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to go to a dangerous situation and be like, you know what, God's got faith. I have faith in God that he's going to protect me through all these things. I would call that, you know, not smart, you know. Prudence is something that God talks about a lot, well, that we hear a lot in the Bible. And so I guess that's, I'm going to leave the room open for whoever now of
well,
that.
Well, it's just me.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just my turn.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. And that kind of goes along with kind of what I was going to talk about. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Sorry, I'm starting off, I'm just struggling. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It's a very famous statement here that is made. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, I'm going to say that, and then I'm going to kind of continue on with what Jackson was saying. In the sense of, I've heard so many people say, well, you're depressed. That means you don't have any faith in God. Or, you know, there's so many, like Jackson was saying, religious groups, churches that'll just say, well, you just, all you lack is faith. You don't have any faith. Whenever you're going through a hard time or whenever something has happened, well, you just need to have more faith. Not necessarily. And I would tend to disagree with that a little bit too. You see, I've heard even people in college, well, I didn't study for this test, but I know God's got my back. Okay, if you didn't study for the test, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
Like, God's got your back, but you're going to fail. Because you didn't do what you were supposed to do in order to walk by faith. And explaining that a little bit further, and think of it like this. We read this verse, which to us as the naked eye, as humans that, you know, maybe don't have a relationship with God, they've never opened the Bible, they've never seen anything, and they read that, that's sacrilegious. If you don't know Christ. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And a non-Christian is going to go, well, that's dumb.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because everything, the foundation of humanity, of us as humans, is our sight. Because obviously, we want to see something. You know, you say all the time, well, let me see. I want to see. Or, you know, you don't believe somebody because you haven't, as you've heard the old term, seen it with your own eyes. Or I'll tell people, could we work in the heating and air field to where when I order a unit, I'll tell people, I'm not going to schedule this because, excuse me, I'm not going to schedule this job until I see your unit with my own eyes. Because that's what everything is based on, is our eyes. You know, we pay optometrists, okay, I won't even say we. I have paid an eye doctor since I was in the second grade to assist me in seeing. Because if I take my glasses off, I am legally not allowed to drive a vehicle if I don't have contacts or glasses on. It's on my driver's license.
Wow.
That I can't operate this vehicle without glasses or contacts.
Wow.
If I get pulled over, I'll get my license suspended if I don't have on glasses or contacts.
That's serious.
So, because everything that we do is by sight. Now, think about it this way. Think about somebody that you trust with your life. Whether it be a parent, whether it be a spouse, a best friend. You know, you insert that there for you. And you trust them so much that they blindfold you and you're walking through an obstacle course. A deadly obstacle course. Not just something like Fear Factor. I mean, one wrong move and you're dead. And so, let's say my partner's Jackson. And he has to lead me. You can live. You can make it through it. But he has to lead me through this deadly obstacle course. Now, keep in mind, there are things that are going to happen in said obstacle course that are going to hurt. There are things that you're going to have to walk through that are uncomfortable. Okay, but you can do it as long as the person that's leading you is beside you. I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. Faith is me realizing that he's there and he's leading me through whatever I'm going through. Let's say I'm walking through 10 yards of an area with hot coals. And there's a 50-foot drop on each side. So if I slip off, I'm going to die. But I have to walk through the coals to get to the other side. So if he's leading me, then I'm, however he's doing it, whether I've got a hold of his arm or whatever, faith is me saying, okay, yes, this is hard. Yes, it's going to hurt. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. But I can get through it because I have Jackson leading me to the other side. That's faith. Now, what we don't understand is, yeah, maybe say you get 8 yards through this 10 yards of pain. And you go, hey, you know what? I got this. And you let go. Well, yeah, you may only have a few more steps to take, but you don't know where you're at. That's when people what Jackson's saying is misunderstand is we take things into our own hands and say, yes, I know you're beside me, but I don't need you. And then you step off and you die. Faith is realizing that, okay, I'm going to go through things in my life that is uncomfortable. I'm going to go through things in my life that hurt. That's just the way of evil. You're going to lose people. Friends are going to pass away. Family is going to pass away. You're going to be in a financial hardship at some point in your life. You know, you're going to be at odds with somebody that you care about. You're going to be caught up in some drama, whatever. If it's not happened, it will happen. And people say, well, God's got me. Yeah, but do you have a hold of him? Like, yes, he will be beside you the whole time. But if you let go at that point, it's on you.
Right.
If you make that decision to say, oh, I don't need this, then you're going to die. Right. Spiritually, you're going to die. Faith is grabbing a hold and saying, okay, I'm going to go through this hard thing, and he's going to lead me through it. He's not going to get me out of it, but it's not him that put you through it in the beginning.
Right.
It's the devil. It's the ways of evil. It's you. You know, maybe you're in a financial hardship and you blame God for it. Okay, well, what did you do to put yourself here?
Right.
How many times did you swipe your Visa, your credit card?
Yeah.
How many times did you pass up on a great job opportunity? Whatever. So, to your point, faith is very misunderstood because that's what we're taught.
Yeah.
Because we're so focused on sight. Mm-hmm. We have to see everything. We have to know because, I mean, I talked to a guy this morning. He owns a bank in Cumberland County. I was at his house, you know, pricing stuff for my job. He'll be 80 in a couple months. He still goes to work every day.
Wow.
Still sits, he's the CEO of a bank. And we were talking, and I was like, well, how's things in the banking world? You know, just making small talk. And he was like, you know, everything's good. He was, but I've been doing this for almost 50 years.
Wow.
And he said, it's different now. He said, because nobody trusts anybody. He said, because of the, ever since the COVID thing happened, and I'm not going to share my personal beliefs. He said, but nobody trusts anybody. Everything has to be written down. Everything has to be seen. He literally said that this morning. And I was like, I see that even in my own business.
Yeah.
When I tell people, yeah, okay, it's this easy. Well, I want to sign a contract. We don't really do that. Well, I want to. Because they've been misconstrued by so many people and lied to by so many people. They just don't trust anybody. And faith is us reading this from a Christian standpoint. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Guys, we don't understand the things that God's doing in our lives. We often don't even see it happening until years later and we look back and go, man, he was doing this and he was doing this. And we miss it in the moment, which is normal. But faith is knowing that you're going to go through hard things, because faith is not a one-way ticket to a life of paradise. It's a one-way ticket to go through the things, to withstand the ways of evil, walking beside somebody, knowing that if they're gone, then you got nothing. You're flying blind.
Right.
Just like you're in a deadly obstacle course. Okay, he's going to tell you how to miss the bullets and try his best to lead you around them, but you may get nicked. You're not going to die.
Right.
But if you let go of them, you're flying blind. You don't know what's going on.
Right.
So we walk by faith, but we don't walk recklessly.
Yeah.
We don't run. We don't insert whatever you want. We don't try to ride a bike on fire down a hill.
It's very specific.
Just give us this. I've never done that. But we don't just have free reign to say, well, God's got me. God does have you. But God also gives you the power of choice to say, yes, this is a smart thing for me to do, or no, this is not a smart thing for me to do. And if it's unavoidable, okay, well, I'm going to walk through this with God, not without him. That's faith. And it's lost its weight just because we don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
We have to see, and we're the same way. I want to see everything. We were talking, next door neighbors that live next to me now are two of my best friends from college. They came over for dinner the other night, and we were just reminiscing, I guess.
Yeah.
On the goofy stuff that we used to do, and I had forgotten about this. But Luke showed me a video. We were all in our friend Kyle, which he lives in Crossville. Kyle was a bank teller at the gentleman that owns the bank.
Oh, yeah.
But I went to school with him, and it was me and Luke and him and Nathan, another friend of ours, driving down the road in his four-door sedan while Luke was covering Kyle's eyes and Nathan was telling him which way to drive. And we're laughing and cutting. I mean, I'm not talking about, like, he didn't cover his eyes with his fingers. Like, I'm talking palms to eyelids. So you can't see.
Wow.
You can't look through your finger.
Yeah.
Palms to eyelids. And Nathan was like, slow down, speed up, turn left, turn right, pothole, you know. We did it all the way down Willow, from one end of Willow to the other.
Wow.
Stupid. That's dumb.
Yeah.
But that, if you think about it, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And then we blame God for it.
Yeah.
And then people say, well, you just didn't have any faith. Yeah. No, you made a mistake.
Yeah.
You led yourself down this path thinking you could handle it.
Yeah.
And you couldn't.
Yeah.
Because you made a mistake. So, and I think that's kind of, I hope that's kind of along the same line of what you were saying.
No, I think you summed it up so much better than me.
So, that's faith.
Yeah.
Don't think we're crazy.
Yeah.
But guys, faith is not just your one-way ticket to not use your head.
Yeah.
It is a one-way ticket of safety and assurance when you're going through your life.
Hey, you just used a word that's in 11:1.
You're welcome. So,
I think, yeah, that's perfect. I wish you would have just led because you summed me up perfectly.
Well, I didn't have any of that planned. That's not at all what I had written.
Really?
When you said that, it made me change my mind.
Really? Oh, because so, I was at the end.
So if I would have went first, I wouldn't have said that.
Really?
No.
Wow.
So
funny how things work out, because that's exactly, I definitely needed somebody to round off my crazy thinking right there. So, well, yeah. That's it, I guess.
Yep.
We're here. We're finishing up faith. I want to leave you with chapter 11, verse 1. That gives kind of the faith definition. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So, you know, as you go out, you know, as you're having faith, you don't just fly around blind. But what it is when you're having faith, and you're in this in-between time between Jesus dying for you and then him coming back, is when you have faith, it's the assurance that God is going to uphold his end of the deal, that Jesus is going to uphold his end, and he's going to come back, and he's going to rescue our world from the mess that we made it, and deliver us into a chance to be with him forever. So just know that's what faith is all about, is that assurance of things hoped for, assurance that God is going to restore our world. And just you go out, the holidays are coming up, especially if you're in America. Great time to start talking about religion and politics. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. That was a straight up joke. but don't talk about religion. Talk about Jesus. There you go. So we love you. Jesus loves you.
Hope you have a great week.
Yeah, that's it.
We'll see you later. Bye.